The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, those are the victory horns, and they sing and they play for Sean Strickland, and I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. Sean Strickland won a five-round unanimous decision of 49-46. No, that was not the case at all. In fact, Sean Strickland went out and finished Abus Magomedov in the second round, just battered him. Boxed his ears off, just beat the hell out of the man until referee Mark Smith just had seen enough. And Sean Strickland, if he wants to get himself a title fight with Israel Adesanya in September, he certainly put himself in a good position after this performance, probably in the driver's seat, at least for the moment. We'll see what happens next week at UFC 290, but thank you for joining us. We are live here on the UFC Vegas 76 post-fight show. I am Mike Heck, being joined by Mr. No Gray Area himself, Jed Meshew, just jamming away. Hey, buddy.
Love the victory horns, Mike, and you're wrong. These victory horns are not for Sean Strickland. They're for us, the fans, Mike. The fans won because this was a fight card. Woo, I'm excited to talk about it.
It was a fight card, and I might as well just, let's peel back the curtain a little bit, Jed, because we try to be positive as much as possible.
I do not.
But I think we speak for a lot of MMA fans when we looked at the card and we saw what happened in the first round with Abus Magomedov and that eye poke. There's a vast majority of fans are like, referee, just go ahead and stop this thing. Because yep. What, like, not because I just want to see bad things happen, but considering the reaction to the fight and everything, it would just be kind of hilarious if that's the way the fight ended. Like, first round eye poke, fight's over. That would have been
really
funny.
Fitting end. Would have been a very fitting end to this fight card, which wasn't awful. Not here to tell you it was bad. No. Very forgettable. We aren't going to talk about anything that happened here except for maybe two fights. I'll go 2.5 because I guess there's a world, even though I don't believe this is true, there is a world where Sean Strickland, in the year of our Lord, 2023, just earned a title shot by beating Abus Magomedov. This sport is getting dumber by the day, people. Like, whew. So 2.5, because I'm giving a half point of credit for that, because this may be the title-winning opportunity for one Sean Strickland. Whew, okay.
Him going out there getting a finish, I mean,
against, unless widely regarded Abus Magomedov. Listen, we all totally we all know. We all know.
Look, DDP, and who should be just getting the damn title shot to begin with. We've already beat this to death at this point, but he's fighting Robert Whittaker. If Bobby Knuckles goes out there and just runs him over in 2 minutes, or if DDP somehow knocks out Bobby Knux in 2 minutes, then this means nothing. But if those two guys get in there for 15 minutes and beat the hell out of each other, Sean Strickland's getting a title shot. Like, it's just the way it is. They could promote the hell out of it. It's going to be ugly. The build to it. And the fight's probably going to happen, and Israel Adesanya's probably going to win and look like a superhero in Sydney.
There's a world where that happens. I'm not sure it's true. Look, I'm manifesting at this point. I'm all in on it. DDP is going to beat Bobby Knuckles. It's not going to be a knockout. It's going to be, as Casey and I were talking about this off air, it's going to be like a Zabit level 10 minutes of just throwing the kitchen sink at him and then surviving for five. And he's going to get the dub. And when that's over, the groundswell of support for this man who has said the dog whistly things and built a true rivalry, a fight that I want to see and that people want to see, there will be no appetite for Sean Strickland. As great as a win over Abus Magomedov is, the fans are going to forget about it and say, look, I know Izzy wants to fight in Australia at September. And frankly, it would be incredibly funny to do the fight in Australia in September with DDP, because then DDP could just come out and be like, I told you guys he's not African. Look, we're doing this fight in Australia because it's a home crowd for him. Nothing I said. All of that would be amazing. The UFC won't do it. They'll just say, hey, we got to push. This guy's your contender. This guy just beat Rob. We got to do this fight. We'll push it till Madison Square Garden. They'll headline MSG, and somebody else will be fighting in Australia. So I'm manifesting that reality because that's the world I want to live in, Mike. I don't want to live in a world where beating Abus Magomedov. Somebody call up Lewis Taylor, because that man deserves a title fight, apparently, if that's what we're talking about with Sean Strickland right now.
Look, I get where you're coming from, and we've been trying to manifest the DDP fight from Jump Street, and it still isn't there yet. The fact that we have to wait.
Speak your truth into the atmosphere and let it come back to you tenfold, Mike Heck.
We've tried. Even Dana was like, I have an announcement coming up about that, and we never got one. So everything just kind of remains the same. Normally with an event like this, we're just going to spend most of the time talking about the main event, but literally we just talked about the big storyline that could come out of it. Sean Strickland maybe getting a title shot. He called for it. I'm not going to repeat everything he said, but called for it, said does everything for the country, and everything he says and the way he fights, everything is for the country. But this really wasn't a surprising thing, Jed. Like, the way everyone who kind of pays attention to the UFC and these two guys in particular, the way everyone broke this down is pretty much the way the fight went down. Abus had 5 minutes to win this fight, and if he couldn't get Sean Strickland out of there in the first round, he was going to lose. Now, I didn't think he was going to get washed in the second round like that, but could I have seen a finish in the fourth or fifth round? Certainly, but I felt like Abus had 5 minutes to win this fight, and once the eye poke failed, the body kicks failed, he landed some good shots. He kicked Sean Strickland in the face as hard as he could. And Sean didn't even like change his facial expression at all. He just walked right through it. And then from there, once the second round started, that was a wrap. So did anything really surprise you in this fight in any way?
Surprised me how quickly it went downhill. This is exactly what I thought would happen in the broader structures, right? Like, Abus can win in the first round if he does something really cool. Because he has that in the bag. But I said in either BTL or the previous show or both, he has slipped on banana peels. He is not a consistent fighter. And Sean Strickland, for his many faults, is obnoxiously consistent. He is going to be there doing the same thing every time out. And this time it's true. I didn't think the wheels would completely disintegrate from the train like they did for Abus. I mean, that fight didn't need to start the second round, realistically. Like, it was as soon as the round started, it was like, okay, well, this is now all the way different, which was super weird because the first round didn't end with a huge momentum shift. It was just like, okay, I wrote in the live blog that looked like Abus was slowing a little bit, but he hit the wall hard and it was just done. So it happened a little faster, but no, this was what we expected. Good for Sean Strickland. It's his first finish in like a lifetime, it seems like. But there's nothing else to talk about this fight. Unless, Mike, I'm always happy to give you a hot five on refereeing and why it sucks and taking points for fouls. But I feel like we've done that a lot too. So maybe we don't need to open up that can of worms again.
Yes, there's that. There's also very good refereeing on this card. I'm sure we're going to talk about that fight in a moment. But we have bonuses.
From Jed Herb. Who knew? Yeah. Who knew Herb had it in him?
Hokey pokey Herb just was like, nah, we're going to be all in on this. And that was a great stoppage. And we'll talk
Turned
about that.
Turn back the clock.
Yes, he did. We have bonuses. Have you seen these yet, Jed?
Haven't. I'm reacting in real time. Let me guess.
I would love for you to guess.
There's no way I'm going to get any of this right. I've got to think fight of the night is Bruno Cutateladze.
Yeah, because there's really okay. No other option.
If that's not fight of the night, somebody needs to be. Okay, Renat for sleeping Kevin Lee feels like he's getting a performance bonus. And Ruzabayev?
You are 3 for 4. Well, in terms of fighters who are getting bonuses. Fight of the night is 100% Brenner versus Cutateladze. Ruzabayev got a bonus. Bakhritinov did not get a bonus. Sean Strickland got the bonus.
What? That's some fucking shade right there.
How does Bakhritinov not get a bonus?
I desperately hope someone asks that question. Hey, why is Sean Strickland beating a dude no one gives a shit about matter when Renat literally slept a man? Like, scary slept him to a point where I was like, oh, I don't know how long he's been unconscious. It could have been a while though. So hope he's okay, Kevin Lee. That's insane. God, way to go, whoever dictated that.
And Dana won't even answer for it. He's in Maine. He's on vacation. This is his vacation time. So he's not even there to answer questions. But that is a travesty that Bakhritinov. And did it under a minute. He did it under a minute. And it still wasn't enough. That's friggin' wild. But there's your bonuses. Sean Strickland getting the bonus. Bakhritinov, no bonus for him. Hopefully he gets a couple shekels in the locker room area. But golly, that's just tough. Those are no-brainers. Like, until when I saw Sean Strickland, I couldn't believe it. But what a great real-time reaction that was. Now,
that's incredible. he knocked him out and submitted him. It was great. And no money for you.
All the buzz from this entire card right now, just if we're looking at traffic and social media numbers, it's all on the Kevin Lee fight. Everything is pointing to that finish of Kevin Lee. But what can you do? Even though this man is not going to get a bonus, Jed Meshew, he got a win bonus, and he looked damn good, and he sent a message to the entire lightweight division. Grant Dawson seems like 155 is his home, took on Demiris Magulov, and we were both sort of on the same page with this fight. On paper, incredible fight. We had concerns on the Magulov side, because after the loss to Armin Sarukian, the next day, without telling anybody on his team, he goes to social media and announces his retirement. And then like a week later, says, you know what? I have one fight left on my deal. I am a company guy. I'm a man of my word. If I say I'm going to fight four times, I'm going to fight four times. And if I have one fight left, I'm going to go out there and do it. So we were concerned possibly about the motivation here. I'm here to tell you, Jed, after watching what we saw, Demiris Magulov could have had all the motivation in the world. He could have been promised a title shot. He could have been promised $20 million if he won this fight. And he still would have lost to Grant Dawson, because Grant just smushed him. This man is a problem. And ATT Grant Dawson is going to be climbing these ranks very quickly if he can get the right fights. Your thoughts on KGD's incredible co-main event performance just running over Demiris Magulov?
KGD is just an awful, awful name. Can we just start there? Everything else about him rules, though. Love this kid. Been super high on him for some time. I want to say that I was the first person to have him ranked in our rankings because I really like his game. I thought he had a really good chance to come in here. Paid me off for it. Looked unbelievable against a guy who, you know, there's a reason this fight was basically a pick'em. Ismagulov does have good takedown defense. We saw for like a hot minute in that second round, when he gets the jab going, he can be tough to deal with, but Grant Dawson just made mincemeat out of him. The transitions were spectacular. The control. I thought if you had told me that he had this much back control time, I would have thought he'd have gotten the finish, honestly, because I was sort of in my breakdown of this fight. I was like, I think he can just kind of replicate what Armin did, only he's a better control grappler than Armin Tsarukyan is, and a better finisher, I think, from the, you know, back mount and stuff like that. Ismagulov is the reason dude hadn't been stopped. Tougher than a $2 steak. Stayed in it the whole time. But, I mean, this was one-way traffic. 30-27s officially on two of the three judges. At the minimum, he deserved one 10-8 round, if not two.
He got one
10-8 round from one rep, from one judge. But he should have got it all three, and he probably deserved two. But it... No wrong way to eat the Reese's at that point. It was just formulaic. Man's a star. He's not even 30. Lightweight continues to just kick all the ass, man. I'm excited, Mike, to listen to On to the Next One tomorrow and see what you guys have projected for him and or what you'd like to see. Because personally, I know it's not going to happen. Give me the Armand Tsarukyan fight. Just make it happen. I know Armand's like, yeah, I want a title fight. You're not getting it. And let's be real, you're probably not fighting any of the other dudes. Maybe Benny Dariush will say yes. I could see Benny Dariush accepting it because he's built like that. But if Dariush says no for whatever reason, I know it'll be a big jump up in the rankings, but give me Dawson Tsarukyan, just grapples for days, baby. Just grappling all over the cage. Super sick. Love that fight. That's what I hope happens next.
I would love to see that fight. I think we are going to get Tsarukyan Dariush. Grant called for it, but I don't think he's going to get it. He might have a tough time finding a fight, my man. I think he's going to have a tough time getting one.
Maybe, he's probably going to fight the winner of the Turner-Hooker fight. Like, that's probably what's going to happen.
I'd love to see him fight Matush Gamrot, but they're teammates, so they're not going to fight each other. Yep. Like, those two getting after it would just be ridiculously fun.
That's functionally the exact same fight as Tsarukyan, but they just won't do it because they're teammates. But yeah, it's – dude, that's why lightweight sucks. Lightweight is the best division. We don't have to get into that argument. But like, you get a big win over a ranked dude like that, and you're – the benefit you get is you get to fight the winner of the number 10 and number 11 guys who will be one spot in front of you. It's just like, okay. And then when you win that, maybe you get to fight Tsarukyan at 8. And then maybe if you win that, then maybe you get to fight Michael Chandler at 5 or whatever. It is impossible to get a lightweight title shot. It is just not something you can ever do.
I still don't like the Tony Ferguson call out. Like, just I think we're past that point. Why? I mean,
way past.
Like, if we're gonna do it now, if we're gonna do it, it was what he called him out the last time, and I felt really icky about it the last time. I feel super icky about
it. It's awful.
Now.
Look, it's terrible for what will happen in the cage. But like, I thought he actually very succinctly. Grant Dawson's one of my guys because he's on it. Like, he knows he's not here to say like I'm gonna be really good and I'm a very reasonable young man. I would like a big number, but if I can't get one, give me a big name. And that's it. Like, we just talked about, I don't actually know who the hell he can even fight that will accept a fight with him in the rankings above him. So next best case, who's got a big name? Tony Ferguson. Let's put the nail in that particular coffin. And at least maybe it's sort of the same, frankly, as I guess it's different certainly, but like, why the hell is Shavkat fighting Kelvin Gastelum? That's clearly a step back for him, but Gastelum's got a big name and nobody else will fight him. So sure, let's do that. I'm okay with it if it happens.
I mean,
I'm not okay with it morally for the health and safety of Tony Ferguson, But he will just be cradled to unconsciousness, so it'll be fine. He won't, like, suffer a vicious punt to the face or whatever.
Even if Bobby Green beats him July 29th, we're still okay with it?
Oh, I forgot he's fighting Bobby Green. We're not okay with Bobby Green's going to beat him, so we're not okay with that anymore. But, like, I don't want Grant Dawson to fight Bobby Green. That's just boring. And I love Bobby Green, but that's... That's not doing anything. That's not a name, and it's fighting super back. Like, he functionally just has to fight the winner of Turner Hooker unless he gets to fight Saruki. Like, those are really the only things that can happen for him.
Yeah, great win for Dawson. I still don't know how that man ever made 145. It's wild to me, but looks very at home at 155. He's huge at 55. He's bigger than Izmagulov in there. It's crazy.
He's missed weight at 55.
For the Mark Madsen fight. So if we can get the weight under control, it seems like the cardio issues are behind him, like we saw in the Ricky Glenn fight. So that guy is going to be tough to beat.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Michael Morales, over the years, is going to be another guy that's tough to beat. Slower start, but once he started getting cooking, man, holy smokes, did he get after it. Just put the boots to Max Griffin, real tough. Michael Morales is going to be a problem once he starts feeling himself. He's tough to stop.
I mean, I think you actually sort of nailed my biggest takeaway from this, other than kid's 24. Kid's somebody excited. I'm excited to watch him continue to develop because, like, big paws on a puppy. He's got all the signs of something a little bit special here, a little bit cooking. But the big takeaway for me was this fight. I came into this fight as like, this is the exact fight you do for Michael Morales. Like, Max Griffin is a veteran, like a real hard-nosed veteran. He's a dude that if you're not on your P's and Q's, you could slip up against in a real bad way. And not at all what happened. We got to see growth. We saw him overcome a little bit of adversity. That first round wasn't super clean. He got, you know, his face got busted up a little bit and then just turned it up. And like you said, when he started feeling himself, if he can find a way to just start off a fight with the utter confidence he carried into the second and third rounds of the Max Griffin fight, man, that is just a problem. Because when he, I mean, it was like he moved differently. He was just at that level. Was like, all right, I've got this. I'm firing on all cylinders. I'm hearing Jimmy right now. Let's get going. And Max Griffin didn't have much to offer back other than survival at points. So if he can do that for 15 instead of kind of easing his way into it, then I'm really going to start looking at this kid and be like, all right, the ceiling is title contention here. Like we're talking about a guy who can and will fight for the belt. Not there yet, but still super young, a lot of way to go. I'm excited to see him go there.
Yeah, this is really good matchmaking. This is a good test, and Max's game is hell, and good win for Michael Morales. Ariane Lipsky gets a splitty.
Did that fight happen?
It happened, all right.
I say this with absolute sincerity. I sat right there on my couch with my laptop in front of me, and I watched every minute of that fight, and I cannot tell you a single thing that happened in it. Watched all 15 of them. No idea what happened.
Yeah, I don't want to – I mean, I'll just say it. I was on Twitter Reacts duty, so I had to go through – we have this whole page of, like, the UFC fighters, like a list on Twitter. So you can go down and see every fight in order, how it all works. Not one tweet about that fight. Not one from the entire roster that I could find. But good win for Ariane Lipsky. Look, she's getting better. She's evolving.
It is a good win for her. She was the underdog in this fight, so a very good win for her.
Yeah. So, well done. She was happy with the performance, and good for her. Benoit Saint-Denis, time to stop sleeping on that man. Guy's real good. Again, this is such a weird fight because we have the recency bias of the Ismael Bonfim knockout, and then we don't really have a recency bias with Benoit Saint-Denis because all people can remember is him just getting tuned up at welterweight and the referee not stopping the fight when he got knocked down like 137 times. Dude's unbeaten 155 in the UFC, and he just goes out there and just puts this dude away in the first round. This guy's tough, man. He's real impressive. He's calling for big names in Paris. He ain't going to get any of them, but he's trying. And if he keeps putting on performances like this, let's go. Benoit Saint-Denis versus Grant Dawson is going to be a super fun fight in 14 to 16 months when they win a couple more each.
Yeah, I talk about his call out in a second because that was bad. But I said it on No Bets Barred this week. It was like a lot of people on Ismael Bonfim, and I get it. He's coming off like one of the best knockouts of the year, right? But I just couldn't feel good about betting on him and really just betting against BSD because I like BSD. I like what we've seen from him outside of the one welterweight fight. I mean, these kids looked amazing, and that fight wasn't particularly competitive. Like he had the run of Bonfim very early in that. Looked like he should have been a super heavy favorite. Looked like, hey, I'm also very young and very talented, and I don't know why the hell y'all forgot, but now I'm here to remind you. So great performance from him. Hated the call out. So Mike, his zero chance of getting the call out. So it's a waste of Mike time. It's just never going to happen because it's lightweight. He needs like five more wins before he can start being like, I want to fight top 10 guys. Like you are at least three wins away from that. Grant Dawson can only just make those call outs, and you're no Grant Dawson, my friend, not quite yet. So would have liked better mic work for him, but like I get it, he wants to fight in Paris, do the whole thing. I hope they get a cool name for him, and we'll keep seeing where he goes.
Thiago Moises, Renato Moicano,
that's not bad.
Like both those names, I think both Thiago Moises.
Moicano feels like maybe too big of a step. I like Moises though.
Yeah,
I think I like Moises.
Yeah, he's in a good spot. He needs to be on this Paris card, no doubt about that. We talked about Jamie Malarkey. Boss finished.
Could do Jamie Malarkey.
Well, he's just coming off a loss, isn't he?
Yeah, but I don't care about losses versus wins.
Nah, we're trying to move him up though. We're trying to move him up. We need like a 19-20 Dober. Not bad. I think it might be. Maybe so, one more win, then he can get the Dober fight.
One more win before Dober becomes in play.
If there's a ranked guy to be had, I think Matt Frivola could be a possibility.
I think that – I just don't think he's getting one.
Yeah, we'll see.
What are we doing with Patty? When's Patty coming back?
Who the hell knows? Maybe the end of the year?
I could be Patty.
Dude, I'm sure you would, and I'm sure he would as well, but I don't think Patty's taking that fight. I don't think he would have any interest in that fight.
Patty's probably trying to still fight Tony Ferguson. It's going to be okay.
Yeah, oh God. I think even AK has given up on that idea. Ruzabov, nasty knockout. Joanderson Brito.
Dude, I mean, where the hell did that come from, by the way?
Which one?
The Ruzabov KO just...
That was a bullet,
out of
dude.
Nowhere. Like, I just, like, you know, I won't say I've seen like all of his fights because I super haven't, but when you watch him on tape, it's just like, hey, here's this 6'5 dude who's comically large, but he also just wants to like get you in Kimura traps and stuff. Like, he wants to use his arms to tie up your appendages and break them. And then he's fighting this short, stocky dude who ethered RoboCop. And then instead, he's like, oh, by the way, I got hands, bro, eat them. That was nasty.
That was nasty. The thump from that shot that dropped him was just, it was echoed. It was nasty. Kind of like Renat Fokratinov's right hand that he landed on Kevin Lee. That was a freaking piston. Lee was pretty much donezo there. And then the gilly and goes to sleep. We already talked about Herb Dean doing such a great job there. I'll go back to that in a moment. Joanderson Brito, I mean, that fight should have never happened. Weston Wilson should not have been in there with Joanderson Brito. Carol Rosa gets splitty over Yana Santos in a fight that we got at 145.
I'm sorry. So, Carol Rosa, the uncrowned women's featherweight champion of the UFC.
Amanda,
put some respect on her name.
If she called it Amanda Nunes, that would have been the best. She would have been my favorite fighter on the card.
If anyone around that fight had any sense at all, I would have been like the winner. I would just stand there, immediately call yourself the uncrowned champion. There is no champion. You can say it. You're the only one who can say this right now. Stake your claim. And nobody did because they suck at promotion.
Elvis Brenner, Guram Kutsatsala, that's a great fight. What a comeback from Elvis Brenner. If you want to see something disgusting, go to MMAfighting.com and
don't do it. Well, go to MMAfighting.com. Yeah. Don't click that story. It's gross. It hurts my eyeballs.
It's pretty bad. Luana Carolina gets a win. I didn't see that one coming. I'm not the Carolina winning wasn't a huge shocker, but her just controlling Petrovic
didn't see
on the
her
ground.
Repeatedly getting takedowns and sitting on her.
Yeah. Nope, definitely didn't see that. And Alexander Romanov 2.0, Jed Meshew. The dude is
he's back, baby.
Dude, the heavyweight over bet on that fight was the steal of the card at -200. That should be like -500.
It was the best. As soon as the fight started, I was like, Blago Ivanov, if I ever see you like out at a bar, I owe you 7 drinks. The amount of money I have made wagering overs on Blago Ivanov fights, it is it's obscene. Really, I loved every second of that fight. The Romanov hype, it's still here, baby. The Romanov truthers, we weren't wrong, Mike. We were just early. He is still 32. He's but a young pup in the heavyweight division. Alexander Romanov, UFC heavyweight champion, 2028. Just watch.
Dude. King Kong was out there pacing himself. Just being controlled and patient, wasn't going bananas. He still was gassing at the end of that third round, but
got rid of the slim physique. Don't need it. Don't need the slim physique at heavyweight. Unnecessary. I loved every part of that fight. The head movement, Mike. That's the head movement of a future champion.
Such a 3 minutes into the fight, I'm like, this is gonna be awesome. This is what this entire fight's going to be, and I'm going to love every second of it. And I just enjoyed it for what it was. It was wonderful. I do want to go back to the featured prelim. Renat Fokratinov sleeps Kevin Lee 55 seconds.
He might be
55
good,
seconds.
Huh?
He's real good.
He might be good.
He's now won 20 in a row. He's 22-2. We haven't seen, at least not in the UFC, that fun, I'm going to punch you in the face real hard style. Usually just kind of does what Grant Dawson did, just takes you down and controls you for 80% of the fight and just wears on you. He just put it on Kevin Lee. Every shot he landed was a big shot. Then he landed the 1-2, that right hand just clocked Kevin Lee, put him in the choke, and Kevin Lee goes unconscious. Yes, there's a lot of us that say, man, we're not... really good fighter. This dude's a problem. But I think the other side of it was, man, Kevin Lee, this is his chance. This is the most intriguing thing on the card in a lot of people's eyes. Like, what's he going to look like? First fight in 2 years back in the UFC. First fight post Diego Sanchez. First fight at the new camp, new management team. Like, the whole new, like, Ally Quinta tweeted it out. Kevin, the new version of Kevin Lee making the walk to the octagon again. So we're like, this is the guy. This is it. It's, you know, a moment of truth time. And then 55 seconds, it's over. It's just wild to think about how talented, how athletic, the personality this guy has. Like, he's got everything you would want. Like, if Kevin Lee walked into your gym right now with the personality he has, the athleticism, the skills, you're like, damn, like, sign this dude up. He's going to be our guy. This guy's going to be a champion. And just can't get, for some reason, he just can't get over that hump. It's just, the 30 for 30 on Kevin Lee, Jen Meshew, is going to be a real interesting watch, is it not?
Dude, what happened? Like, what? I'm looking at his resume. I still, like, I'm trying to think of how to compare it. He was, 5 years ago, was so good and so talented and wailed on Tony Ferguson for 10 minutes in an interim title fight. And then, like, that was just the end of it. Like, it was that Tony came out, tapped him, and he feels like, looking at Kevin Lee, it feels like looking at, you know, the guy from your high school, the best football player, the guy who was supposed to go pro, and like, yeah, he's going to make it out. Boobie Miles, he is going to make it out. And then he doesn't. And you're just like, why? You had it all. And you have all of the pieces, and it just didn't happen. And for Kevin Lee, the part that didn't happen is, you know, at the pinnacle of the sport, he made it to, he fought for a title. But what the hell? Like, Renat's really good, apparently. And maybe he's, like, even better than we're, like, giving him credit for. But that felt a lot less like Renat's really good and more like the continuation of the, where has Kevin Lee gone? Where is the fighter I once knew? He's not in the cage ever anymore. And talking about a guy who's 30 years old still. He is 30 years old, and his career feels like that of, you know, BJ Penn or whatever. Like, man, we knew you once. You were great once upon a time, and now we're just here hoping that this next time the thing will happen. So I don't know. It's a very unique career to this sport, and one that I will endlessly ponder on to figure out how it went the way it went.
If there's ever a 165 pound division, Kevin Lee is like the face of it, because he's just too small for 170 and he can't make 155. Like, 155 is where he should be and he can't make it. And 170 is way too small. It's like,
I never have.
Yeah, I think there's something to it, but it's just,
if
a wild
he can't
story.
Make 155, he's just like,
he can,
you can
it
make
seems
170.
Like he can. Yeah, he's made it, but even when he's made it, it's just, it's why it's just strange, man. Like, it's just so close in so many ways. Like, it's all there. It's just, what is the speed
bump?
But it's
not there. It's so weird.
Man, it's a mystery. It's a mystery. But big win for Renat, and we'll see what's next for him. Maybe him and, or, well, yeah.
I really think Ally Quinta may have just broken him. Like, Ally Quinta just broke his brain forever, and he's just has never overcome it. He should have beaten Ally Quinta in his sleep, and he ends up losing that awful decision. What a weirdo, man. What a weird career.
Yeah, for sure.
Does he get to fight again? Does the UFC keep doing the experiment with him?
I think you kind of have to.
I mean, people like him. But
I think you have to. Dude, you just chuck. I hate to even say this.
Saying he is.
I think I have to say it, though. Do you just chuck him in there with Michael Morales now? Just to, like, try to get him over? Like, I, I think you kind of have to, right? Like, I think that's kind of where we're going here.
I don't know if you can do that.
Why not?
Because that seems mean. Dude, he has
gonna fight.
He's lost 5 of his previous 6 UFC bouts. Welterweight. Who's got a welterweight? Let me ponder on this and I'll come up with another one. I can't think. I mean, Michael Morales, like, I just think they probably won't do it because these two dudes fought on the same card and they looked so different in the quality of their fighting that if that feels weird to them, be like, yeah, let's match those two guys up from this fight card. If he had two less fights,
you could do Ponzi.
Ponzi's coming off a loss. You could do that. I mean, you could do Max Griffin.
Andre Fialho?
They're both coming
Andre
off
a Fialho? Loss. That's not a bad one.
That's actually fine. I'd be very fine with that. I don't know that you're getting him over in any substantive way there, but I'd
Brian
be okay
Battle.
With that.
Someone like Brian Battle would be okay. Would
be fine as well.
Yeah, it's got to be somebody who could. It's got to be somebody who could benefit. Mike Malott would actually be a good one too.
Mike Malott is actually a better one than Michael Morales. I like Mike Malott a lot better. I think
we've landed on it.
I think that's the answer. I think that's the answer.
Yep. Either him or Temba Garimbo. Because you can build on that rock storyline. Yep. All right, let's go to the peeps. Maybe the peeps have some ideas. You could also send in your picks for on to the next one. There's the wonderful E. Casey Lydon on the ones and twos.
Go ahead. This is real dumb. I'd watch Kevin Lee, Jim Miller.
Someone suggested that at 170.
Yeah, did they?
That's fine.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I was just thinking about it because I thought of Matt Brown. Then I was like, no, Matt Brown and Jim Miller are going to fight. I was like, I mean, I could also watch Jim Miller fight Kevin Lee. I'd probably pick Jim Miller to win that fight.
I guess the question is, do you put Kevin Lee on the Build Up a Prospect tour or do you put him on the Legends tour where, you know, I guess the Jim Miller type fight?
I think he's probably closer to the Build Up a Prospects tour. But
start the Prospects tour, then go to the Legends tour?
I think that's it, probably.
But yeah, but fights he could potentially win where it's like the risk reward for both sides is decent. Like Malott is a good one because if Malott wins, like you could continue to just push him as like one of the new faces of Canadian MMA. And if he loses, if Malott loses to Lee, it's like, oh, Kevin Lee's back. Holy shit. Like,
Are you picking Kevin Lee in that fight right now?
I was about to say that's an interesting way to phrase it because I don't know who I would pick. I was just about to ask who is the best fighter you would pick Kevin Lee to beat? Because I have no idea. It's pretty down the list.
Because Kevin Lee did not look like he was a... he did not look UFC caliber tonight.
Maybe, I don't know.
I'm genuinely going to spend some time to think on who is the best fighter that I would pick.
Did y'all mention Tony Ferguson yet? Rematching Tony at 170?
We didn't mention that. That would be a fight that I'd be at least more comfortable with.
I mean, that's back at the Legends tour, but you know.
The problem is Tony's going to fight Bobby Green. And when he loses to Bobby Green, the conversation should really be like, hey, Tony, about that you still fighting thing, maybe let's pump the brakes on it.
I'm going to throw two names at you, Jed. Ready?
Okay.
Who would you pick? Kevin Lee or Tim Means?
That actually might be the line. You might have found the line. I think I am picking Tim Means on general principle of just how bad Kevin Lee has looked. But I wouldn't be at all surprised if Kevin Lee won that one. So I think that's a good line.
Casey, Kevin Lee versus Brian Barberena. Who wins?
I thought of Bam Bam, but I would definitely pick Bam Bam that one.
I think we're back at it. I don't know if Kevin Lee is a – I don't – he's not
a legend
anymore. Yeah. I have no idea where Kevin Lee is right now in his career. I just don't know.
So fascinating. Because he could show up at his next fight and just obliterate somebody and be like, okay, this is like the guy we've all seen. And then his next fight, he could do what happened tonight. And just be
dude,
like,
dude, he randomly shorts Gregor Gillespie, who's good. Gregor Gillespie's a damn good fighter, and he randomly just pantsed him for the whole world. And like, he could do it. It just doesn't happen. Super weird.
Who did Alex Moreno? Was it Alex Moreno? Is that his name?
Moreno.
The Great White?
Yeah, who did he just beat?
Tim Means.
Oh, okay, he just beat him. Okay. I was like, someone that,
I would that lost definitely him. Pick. I would definitely pick Alex Moreno to beat Kevin Lee.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I would pick Alex Moreno. I was suggesting who Moreno beat.
Yeah.
Tim
Means, which is, I think, is like the exact right line of 50-50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moreno's sneaky good, too.
I think Moreno's, he's past that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Let's take
here's the fight I actually am for. I think Mike Malott is smart and good and reasonable. The one I will lobby for, and we can end on it. Give me Nico Price after he loses to Robbie Lawler.
Because
anything dumb can happen in that. Nico Price versus Kevin Lee. Kevin Lee could be winning, and then something real stupid happens for him to get knocked out. That's just the fight I want to see.
Yeah. Who would you pick? Kevin Lee versus Adam Fugit. Fugit? There are welterweights Kevin Lee can beat, I think, in the UFC.
I think there are plenty of welterweights he could beat if he gets his head on his shoulders.
Yeah, just the Kevin Lee that came tonight. Does he lose?
Kevin Lee would be favored in that fight.
Okay.
Like it's
Adam Fugit? Yeah, I think that's true.
Yeah, he'd be favored.
All right, peeps, what do you got? We've talked a lot about Kevin Lee fantasy matchmaking.
Is Grant Dawson a threat at lightweight? He's 9-0-1 in the UFC in the most dangerous division. Of course he is. He is a threat.
That depends on your definition. Yes.
Yeah, he's a threat.
I do not believe he will ever hold the title because I believe Armand Sarukian is just much better positioned to be the next guy after Islam is done. But I think that it is more likely than not that Dawson fights for a title. But actually, no, I'm going to retract that. I think Grant Dawson is this generation's Jim Miller. I think that's who he is. He's going to be a dude who's really good. Everybody respects the hell out of. Gets almost there, but he's probably never going to have the juice to quite get to an actual title fight unless something really breaks his way in a division that's impossible for things to break your way. Yeah. But perennial top 15 guy, really, really good, could fight for a belt. I will say more likely that he doesn't because he's just going to be the Jim Miller kind of dude.
Is Grant Dawson basically that guy? He'll just never be able to move the needle enough to get that pay-per-view.
It's going to be a huge problem for him.
That's the problem, yeah.
I mean,
because at lightweight, if you don't move the needle, you have to win 12 in a row. It's just so hard.
Yeah,
He's gonna be Ferguson, Dariushi. Where he's gonna have to win like 6 or 7 fights before he gets a big name.
There's a long history of lightweights who have put together 8-9 wins and just couldn't get over the hump. Who's the old Australian dude who's had the weirdest body?
Sotiropoulos?
Yeah, George Sotiropoulos. There you go. Had like 9 wins. Lightweight is littered with dudes who strung together 9-10 wins. And just didn't get to fight for it. Because if you don't have the juice, it's just impossible. You have to win so many fights that it just simply cannot be done.
It's tough.
The last guy who almost got a title shot without having the juice was, I always forget his name, the Canadian guy. The Canadian.
Dariush?
No, Canadian. The
I know. I think Dariush also was exactly that.
Well, before Dariush, because he didn't lose.
I'm trying to think of who's a Canadian lightweight.
With the beard. He got concussions in training, so he had
TJ Grant.
TJ Grant.
TJ Grant. Yeah, he did at least get a title shot, but he then got concussed and it was over.
But I was going to say, he was the last guy I can remember honestly getting a UFC title shot at lightweight that didn't have that kind of, I don't know what you want to call it. Yeah, that
No,
he
had the right timing, and he had dropped from welterweight and was like, this dude is a problem and there's nobody else. Let's do it. So yeah, it's, but look at who has fought for the belt. Other than that, it is, everyone's a star. Who is the least big star who has fought for the lightweight title?
Maybe
like Sean Sherk.
Yeah.
No, because he was like a lightweight champion. So
Kenny
Florian.
Yeah, but
Kenny Florian was a tough star. They loved Kenny.
Was he a big star though? But was he a star? Yeah.
Well,
at that point in the UFC,
you got to be over. I guess less than a star, but yeah, I think he definitely was because he was on season one of Tough. Entire narrative built around that. Looking at this, I mean, honestly, RDA is probably like did not have the juice when he fought for the belt. He was just good. But other than that, I mean,
yeah,
Donald Cerrone, Eddie Alvarez, Conor McGregor, Habib, Poirier, Gaethje, Ferguson, Oliveira. Like, it is just a freaking list of people that you know and that random MMA fans have heard of. It is not a list of Grant Dawson's, George Saharopoulos's. You gotta have something extra, and I don't think Dawson has it, and that's gonna really hold him back.
Yeah. This is true. All right.
Does Strickland do enough in his post-fight speech to get the Izzy fight?
We talked about this on the fan Q&A. He would have to say something big. But I think we assumed it was going to be a boring victory too. So maybe that kind of negates saying something outlandish in the post-fight.
I mean, he didn't really have to say anything. But just going out there and getting a second-round finish like that was
enough.
Was good. It was un-Strickland-y, non-Strickland-like.
Man, what if he had carried that energy of un-Strickland-like and it just been like, hey, guys, I want to talk to you about the dangers of capitalism and the trajectory our current nation is on. Like, that would have just hit him with the curve when no one sees it coming. Never let him know your next move, guys. I didn't realize that he called out Izzy. Like, I knew that he said, like, yeah, I want the champ, but then he said the line about Chinese or whatever. And
I misheard it.
I legitimately just thought that he was making a really awful statement about wanting to fight Wiley Zhang. And I was like, God, Sean Strickland, what the hell? And then somebody pointed out that, like, apparently Izzy has been trained in China at some point in time. And so I think that that's the tie in there, but that's super weird. I just say this. I feel like I have to say this a lot now. Just use people's names, because MMA fans, we're not the brightest bunch in general. And most of the people watching you are not like super clued into the minutia. So if you pull a Bilal Muhammad and you're like, I want to fight the wolf dude or whatever, no one knows what the hell you mean. Just say, I would like to fight Israel Adesanya. You're coming to Australia. I don't care if you're African or not. You can still catch these hands, homie. And then drop the mic. And that's good. You don't doing weird shit is just not the way. But he may get it anyway because there's nobody else.
He's in play. That's for sure.
He is absolutely in play.
Okay, so I guess it's because Izzy fought in China as a kickboxer. All right. All right.
Yeah, that's the most like deep cut. We all work in MMA. Did we know that? It's weird as shit.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
Say a different thing, man.
What else we got?
Can I also say that I'm actually here for Izzy versus Sean Strickland? I think it would be charmingly funny.
Let's talk about Izzy.
Izzy would get to look real good. He would just get to look real good. And so that'd be cool.
Yeah, hey, it's not DDP. I think Strickland is an excellent alternative. Like, I think the point of this card more than anything is to make Izzy look like a megastar. And in a big way to do that is you let him look good against a stylistic matchup that is going to give him the opportunity to deliver a highlight reel knockout. And Sean Strickland is just going to be in his face the entire time, giving him many of opportunity to land many shots. And Dricus du Plessis, I mean, we are, I think we all
there's
are
no wrong way to eat this Reese's. No wrong way to eat this Reese's unless it's called Robert Whittaker. That's the only wrong way to eat this Izzy title defense Reese's.
But
and even that's fine.
Yeah, I in a weird way want to see those two guys fighting. It doesn't have to be right now, but I do want to see those two guys fight one more time. I want to see if Whittaker can get it, can do it. I want to see if we can beat him.
I'd watch it, but I don't care about it. Also, if Sean Strickland gets it, he's gonna say something zany on the mic that Izzy can riff off of and maybe say something equally as awful back about. It'll be fun. Look, there are worse things that could happen. Strickland can get next because we're still manifesting DDP, guys. Put it out into the universe. The universe will gift it back tenfold. DDP winning a hard-fought splitty over Bobby Knuckles. Let's go.
All right.
What else we got? Do we have anything? It's not a ton of storylines coming out of this bad boy. Just a lot of, I can't wait to see this guy fight again. Can't wait to see this guy.
Honestly,
fight again.
There were more storylines coming out of it than I anticipated. We got three and a half. Let's get 3.5. I'll give Michael Morales a half. I'm not going to give him a full storyline. Right.
I know maybe Heck is going to save this pick, but maybe me and Jed can answer this.
Will the top 10 of layaway try to duck Grant? He's a monster. He's 30-26 Demir.
Is it?
Casey, what are your thoughts before I give mine?
So, I think it goes back to what we said earlier. He doesn't have the juice. He's the new Dariush. So he probably fights someone that's desperate for a fight. Someone maybe like Benil. You know, I think anyone on a win is going to duck Mr. Grant, and people coming off losses will reluctantly take that fight. That's pretty much it, I think.
I will say that no one is going to duck him because I don't think that it's reasonable to assert that. And like, it's not ducking if the top five don't want to fight a dude who's
because you're fighting someone clearly behind you.
Far behind. And like,
ducking isn't the right term, but people, I know what you mean.
Like, Oliveira, Poirier, Gaethje, Dariush aren't fighting him. That's just not going to happen. But that's not them ducking. That would be bad business for them to do so. They can defend position against somebody else. And then you're looking at that next tier of like, I think Fazeev would probably fight him, actually. And that might be his best hope. Is Fazeev booked?
Him and Gamrot want to fight each other.
Oh, yeah. So then Fazeev isn't going to fight him because he can fight Gamrot, who's a teammate. And then he probably will be trying to move up after that. And then Gamrot's arguably like a better Grant Dawson. So if he beats him, whatever. Sarukian is the best hope. I think Sarukian's eyes are forward, not backwards. But if they brought him the fight, he may have to say yes. We already talked about Benny. I'm looking at the UFC's rankings. I have no idea why RDA is still in them. That's insane. Jalen, RDA will by definition duck him because he's never fighting at lightweight unless it's Connor for $1 billion. And then the next options up are Jalen Turner, Dan Hooker. They're about to fight. And I think the winner of that isn't going to duck him. I think they're just going to be forced to fight him because there's nobody else. It's just,
yeah.
It's for Grant, it's going to be one at a time, one spot. Like if he's 10, he's fighting number 9. If he's 9, he's fighting number 8. He's not.
That is everybody at lightweight unless you are Islam Makhachev and you are the chosen prodigy of the greatest of all time and you get to skip the line. But everybody else, it is one rung up the ladder at a time, man. It's just how it goes.
Yeah, it's going to be a step, a ranking spot. It'll be one ranking spot forward. Then he'll have to fight somebody 2 spots back. And then he'll go back to where he was, go up 1, then go back 2. Like, that's what his road's going to look like. It's just, it's what lightweight is.
I mean, honestly, he got a huge gift here in that he gets to go from 15, what he is in the UFC's rankings, up to 12 now where Demir is. So that's like as big a jump as you can functionally get in the UFC rankings. So now it's just the process, the climb. Embrace the climb, Sarukian, buddy.
Where's Sarukian 7?
Sergey in seven.
He's eight. So he's had a fight.
Well, they don't count the champion as one. That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's eight and he's had a fight. He had a fight like four or five spots back before. And then he fought out of the rankings his last fight. So he had two fights in a row with guys ranked behind him. And Gamera was also ranked behind him.
No, who's he supposed to fight before he had to take the out of the rankings dude? Is he supposed to fight like Moicano or something? I thought he was supposed to fight
somebody.
He's supposed
to headline Moicano, which would also been a step
still would have been back, but at least would have been in the rankings. Yeah.
Yeah. He was supposed to headline that April 29th card with Hinata Moicano.
That's just how it goes, man.
We got what? I think we got Ricky Simone Song Yidong in that spot to replace it.
This is the grind of lightweight. If you don't have the juice, if you don't bring something else to the table like a Michael Chandler did, your path up is long and arduous. Get better on the mic, man. That's all I can tell you.
He tried.
I loved what he did. I'm not here to he's a very reasonable person, but I'm just shooting you straight.
Yeah, very reasonable people don't go very far in this sport.
They sure don't.
They really don't.
Good God, they do not.
I think we're good in the strike.
I think we have milked this card as much as we can. So get your matchmaking selections in for on to the next one. You know how to do it. And then it's International Fight Week, baby. International Fight Week. Jose will be on site in Las Vegas. Media Day Wednesday, presser Thursday, weigh-ins Friday, Hall of Fame. I'm sure there'll be other press conferences as well. Apparently, there's going to be a big UFC Fight Pass announcement coming up. Jorge Masvidal will be having a press conference in Las Vegas as well, I am told, on Friday. I would assume JDS and Fabricio Werdum will be there to promote their bare-knuckle MMA card coming up in September in Jacksonville, Florida. All of that was announced. And yeah, it's gonna be a busy ass week. I'm down to go. It's a day before 293 before Izzy DDP that we're putting out into the universe. So
we'll see. We'll keep working on that. Also, viewers, I'm disappointed. We didn't get a single Fight Circus question, and I feel like you've all failed me. Just wanted to let you all know that before we get out of here.
Because they know BTL, you're gonna walk us right through all the best. All the highlights, all the best moments. What do we need to go back and watch? Tire fight, was it good or bad? It was so great. Perfect.
Tyson Fury, I forget who I was talking with this about. Tyson Fury, they were like, I can't believe Tyson Fury went to Fight Circus. Like, really, when you see him there, you think in most other timelines, that's just where Tyson Fury is. In this one, he happens to be the best heavyweight boxer of this generation. But in most of them, he's just a dude at Fight Circus. It fit like a glove. It was fantastic.
John Fury, Tyson's dad, should be like the general manager of
Fight Circus. The whole Fury family was having a blast.
John Fury should be out like making all the he should be the dude on the mic making all the like John not obviously needs to be a part of it, but John Fury is like the face of Fight Circus, like the face that runs the place, the guy who makes all the decisions, the Eric Bischoff, if you will, of Fight Circus would just be the best. He'd fit right in and do a tremendous job. God bless you, Fight Circus.
If you haven't watched it, fightcircus.tv, I think it's free. 90 What's minutes, the tight 90.
What was the name of the event?
Seven, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Sausages. Because these are children running this organization. Just absolute children.
And they are who they say they are. And that's what we respect about them so much. And the
music. Tire fighting is sick.
So is it 1 foot in the tire?
Fighting. Yeah. You got
1 foot in the tire?
It's like, would you ever do that as kids? We used to do that with slap boxing with tires or whatever. It's just that. And it was sick.
Yeah, we did helmet boxing with hockey gloves and hockey masks.
Oh, that's fun too.
Oh, yeah.
Tire fighting on the main event. Just watch the main event. You won't be disappointed.
All right. Well, some homework for you. Thank you all very much again. Happy Canada Day to all the Canadians out there. Independence Day coming up in the U.S. on Tuesday. So there'll be no Heckman morning on Tuesday. Yes, as Sean Strickland pointed out in his post-fight press conference. But
love thank you all very much.
Enjoy the rest of your weekend, everybody. International Fight Week is upon us. We'll see you then.
Every time we pod, it's for this country. Love y'all.
USA. USA. USA.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.